Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by GoPSURV.com. Celebrating the return of the fans, Mark is having a special deal for the first game versus Ball State. Purchase one RV for the weekend, and you get a second one for free. That is a two-for-one deal. For more info, go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 800-519-8467. And I'm Jim Galante, along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. And Dustin, we get to announce our winner of the free RV weekend from GoPSURV.com for that home opener versus Ball State. And that winner is Brian from Hartwell, Georgia. So I'm really hoping Brian's able to make the trip up to Happy Valley for the game. Brian will be getting in touch with you with all the details. Dustin, lots of news and notes as we approach the season. Let's get right to it. Josh Perry, I guess he's a former Ohio State football player. He gave his assessment of Sean Clifford. We saw this in a quick clip from the BTN, the Big Ten Network crew, after their visit to Penn State. And he wasn't enamored with the performance from Sean Clifford. Big deal, little deal, no deal.
Boy, I think I would probably go in the middle at this point. So if those are my three options, we'll say a little deal. It's something definitely to be thinking about. I mean, obviously, first and foremost, there's a brand new install of offense and vocabulary and all that. So you have to take some of this with a grain of salt. You have to take some of it with a grain of salt because there is still quite a bit of time left in training camp. But, you know, I think what raises the alarm, I suppose, is you are talking about a guy going into his third year as the starter. You know, whether you're talking about a new offense or not, I think it's reasonable to expect crisp practice performances. You know, I don't know what exactly Josh Perry saw. He didn't really get into the ins and the outs of what he thought was rough from Sean Clifford. But, you know, without knowing that, I'm not sure. But It is definitely something. It's one of the last things I think Penn State fans wanted to hear. Let's put it that way. It was confirmation to a lot of people that, you know, you can't really be sure what you're getting from Sean Clifford. And I think it's totally fair to not to be wondering what exactly you're going to get from Sean Clifford. You can't just assume because he's going into year three that you're going to get the best version of him, even though that's exactly what he said last week. You know, I think he clearly there's work to do and they've got time to do it, but this was not an optimal message from the BTN crew.
Surprisingly enough, Dusty, I have multiple thoughts on this. Number one, in the context of it, and I seem to see this a lot from the media, they give you the standard reaction. What I'm getting at, like, Jerry DiNardo or Howard Griffin, I think, talked about the running back room being very good. Well, that's not a surprise to Penn State fans. They're five deep. Jerry DiNardo, I think, talked about the defensive backs and how there's a lot of talent back there. Well, guess what? That was common knowledge. And I think the quarterback struggling last year coming into the season as a question mark was also common knowledge. So unless Sean Clifford just lit it up at practice, I think it was a very easy comment to say, well, Sean Clifford's not, you know, Peyton Manning here. Second point on all that, I just want to give an example. When we talk about the Big Ten crew coming in for 1 week, I'm going to go back 11 years to 2010 and bring up the name Rob Bolden. The Big Ten crew came in and was falling all over themselves complimenting this guy. Do you want to hear how Rob Bolden's Penn State career ended, Dusty? I'm going to give it to you anyway, so you may as well say
well,
that.
Yeah, I every time you ask a question like that, I just assume it's rhetorical. I do remember the Rob Bolden days very, very well. So I would love it. It would be like a blast from the past to hear his stat line here.
7 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. Ultimately transferred to LSU, where he played 0 games. Then transferred to Eastern Michigan, where his short career had a 43% completion rate with 4 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. Now, I'm not here to pick on Rob Bolden, although I guess I did, but it's just be careful how much weight you put into the Big Ten crew coming in and seeing one practice. So I will leave it at that.
Well, listen, and I'm totally on board with that. I think it's such a small sample size, and I think, you know, especially quarterbacks, they do have, you know, you can string together 8 good days in a row and you can kind of have a little bumpy ride one day or another for whatever reason, physical, mental, whatever, something the defenses do, whatever the case might be. So there is a little bit of a grain of salt there. I would say just on the flip side of that, the BTN crew in general comes through and they say and do a bunch of positive stuff because it's a cooperative relationship between BTN and each and every individual university. So it is a little, I think there's something to be said about if you're going to go negative on this, you kind of need to have a pretty good reason for it. That would be my flip side of that. But again, you're right that positive, negative, whatever, drawing conclusions from this early in training camp too can be a pretty unproductive exercise. So take it for what it is. I mean, it's something to throw out there and to think about and see. But Sean Clifford's got time, and Sean Clifford's got experience, and Sean Clifford is not Rob Bolden. I can say that with some confidence. He's not Rob Bolden. So I think there's still every reason to kind of be hopeful here.
And don't get me wrong, I would have much preferred he said Clifford was fantastic. All right, let's move on to our next news item, and I'm really fascinated by this, Dustin. News has come out that the Big Ten, the ACC, and the Pac-12 have been talking about some kind of alliance. What do you glean from those very vague news reports?
Yeah, so I don't know really what an alliance looks like and what they hope to achieve by the alliance. Are they banding together to kind of limit the SEC's influence in the direction of college football, in the direction of college athletics? Are they trying to make sure that the SEC doesn't get all powerful and start to dominate the landscape even more than they already have? Is that the objective? Or are they banding together to try to come up with some initiatives that make everybody more money? In the Big Ten's case, I mean, they're strategically ahead of both of those leagues. You know, they're the big fish in this alliance pond. So what are they trying to gain from this? And I know you have some thoughts too. I would just love to see, you know, just making sure that you get prime time matchups. The SEC schedule just naturally is going to be filled with prime time matchups. Can we get one Big Ten ACC, Big Ten Pac-12 crossover where you get Oregon, Ohio State, where you get Michigan, Clemson, where you get, you know, Penn State, Florida State, whatever the case might be. Can you do something that is tangible and increases the excitement and increases some revenue? We'll see. We'll see what that means. I mean, I don't, without knowing exactly what their plans are, I'm intrigued by it, but I want to see what that means in a tangible way.
Dustin, last week, Dustin Schutte from college football writer for SaturdayTradition.com, the Big Ten website, he and I talked about this even before this news came out, and our thinking was something analogous to the Big Ten ACC Challenge in college basketball, and where they pit the best against the best, and they kind of work their way down the roster. So if you had a setup, and off the top of my head, where the Big Ten went maybe from 9 conference games to 8, but then they scheduled one Pac-12 game and one ACC game, maybe one's at home, one's on the road, and you do this among the conferences, if you end up with a game like Ohio State-Clemson, Penn State-USC, Michigan-Stanford, what you're doing is what the SEC did by bringing in Oklahoma and Texas. You're creating some wonderful matchups for TV. Think how excited Penn State fans are already this year matching up with Auburn, and a big name out-of-conference school. It creates lots of excitement. This would accomplish the same thing which was the reason why the Southeast Conference brought in Texas and Oklahoma, to create tremendous television matchups and get more revenue that way. I think you accomplish that with this. What do you think?
I mean, whether you want to slap a label on it, whether you want to formalize it and structure it so you're defining it in that way, absolutely. You know, I think the new landscape in college football is going to encourage and incentivize stepping out of your comfort zone and playing a big time team. Now, if you structure it and you're making sure that when you're talking about home games, you know, you get one premium out of conference home game every year, essentially, if you're doing it in the way that you just described, then I think there's no reason not to be on board with it. And, you know, for Ohio State to play Clemson in week one, week two, week three, week four, whatever week you're going for there, you can afford to lose now in this landscape and still have a pretty good fighting shot to make the college football playoff, assuming everything goes as planned and the expansion goes to 12. You are incentivized to play big time out of conference matchups, both from a revenue standpoint and from a competitive standpoint, and trying to make sure that you get the eyes and the attention of the committee.
I absolutely love the idea, Dustin, for exactly what you talked about. You, with the 12-team playoff that we all think is coming, and let's face it, that made it a lot easier for the Southeast Conference and for Texas and Oklahoma to go into their conference knowing that there'll be 12 slots coming up for a playoff. If you're, say, an Ohio State having to play a Clemson, well, it's not going to kill your playoff ability. In fact, it could enhance it. Think maybe Ohio State gets upset in the Big Ten, doesn't win the conference, but in your back pocket you have an out-of-conference win against Clemson on your resume. It could help your chances there. I think this would be a total win for everybody, Dusty.
Yeah, and it actually, as you're talking about getting into the specifics of the playoff expansion, they haven't really ironed out anything beyond the idea of expanding to 12. Maybe this is where that alliance comes in and says, you know, we need to structure this thing in a way that it's not 9 SEC teams, you know, on a 1-year basis. Let's find a way to make sure there's balance to this 12 in some way or another. Maybe this is a tangible way that this alliance can actually, you know, one of its first orders of business is making sure that they're well represented in the format for 12 teams.
That's a great point. I think that would be the second reason for doing it, to combat the SEC with these three conferences with some type of alliance. All right, Dustin, that's it for quarter number one. We still have a lot more news and notes to get to. We will do that in quarter number two. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. That means GoPSURV.com is also back. Regular listeners of Keystone Sports know all about it. Drive your car to Happy Valley, and an RV is there waiting for you. Tailgate nonstop from Friday to Sunday. Don't hassle with parking, as a free shuttle will take you to and from the game. For more info, go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the GOAT.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.